Amy, does that look like Todd's glasses there?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Tell him they're up here, wherever he is. I was kidding with Mitch before service as I got up here. Mitch was getting ready to make announcements, and I saw these glasses, and I said, well, where's Todd? Those look. And then I said, oh, he's probably at home looking for his glasses. But anyway, they're up here. I might mention to the folks that as I talked about this morning, I did make out, and I'm not going to do this every week, but I did make out a new mailing list for the folks who enjoy sending out cards and letters and so forth, because I had received several special requests for us to make out cards for some folks who are going through difficult times. And so if that's something that you enjoy doing, you might want to make a special effort to pick one of these up from me this evening. Anyway, I also had received a couple of phone calls this past week from folks who told me how much they had enjoyed receiving cards from the congregation. So if you're able to do that, that's something that's of interest to you, then you can get with me after services. We would invite you, if you would like to follow along with our reading this evening, to be turning to Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3. You know, I was thinking that one of the blessings of growing up at West Avenue in the late 60s and 70s was the fact that us young'uns had the opportunity to study with Doug Steadman and Don Freiling about the kings of Israel and Judah. And boy, if you sat in those Bible classes, you were going to learn about the kings. And some of the greatest lessons in all of the scriptures we can learn from studying the kings of Israel and from Judah. And we're going to talk about one of those kings this evening. Now, in order to prepare our minds for that, let's talk about history for just a moment, if we may. On June 16th, 1858, so kind of get the time period in your mind just before the Civil War, in 1858 in Springfield, Illinois, Abraham Lincoln rose up to deliver what is one of the most famous speeches of all of his career. And the occasion was his acceptance of the nomination for the Republican Party's candidate to be the senator from Illinois. Now, Abraham Lincoln lost that election. That was the period of time where they had the Lincoln-Douglas debates, that sort of thing. And he ended up losing that particular senatorial election. But he did deliver this one address that's one of the most famous speeches in all of American history. In addition, I suppose, to the Gettysburg Address, it would probably be the most famous of his speeches. And he said in part, here's what he said. He said, "A house divided against itself cannot stand. I believe this government cannot endure permanently half slave and half free. I do not expect the Union to be dissolved. I do not expect the house to fall, but I do expect that it will cease to be divided." Now, if you're familiar with your Bibles, you know that what Abraham Lincoln was doing was borrowing from Scripture in that speech. And specifically, you can take a look in Mark chapter 3, where I had directed your attention earlier, to verse 22, Mark 3 and verse 22, where the scribes come down from Jerusalem, and they can't deny that Jesus has been performing miracles. The evidence of the miracles is right in front of them, so they can't say that the miracles aren't being performed. So the best they can come up with is say, well, he's doing that, he's performing those miracles by the power of the devil, by the power of Beelzebub. And so that's how he's able to perform those miracles. And so Jesus responds to that charge. And he says in verse 24, if a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. You can see that Abraham Lincoln just took those words and appropriated them for his purposes. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but he has an end. So Jesus is responding to the scribes' charge that he cast out demons by the power of the demons. And Jesus pointed out that that would make absolutely no sense. And how can any institution or how can any person stand if he or she acts against itself? That just won't work. And what I want to suggest to you this evening as we develop our thoughts is that you can see one of the most powerful examples of that principle, that truth, by going back in the Old Testament and studying the life of one of the kings of Judah named Amaziah. So what we're going to do for a few minutes this evening is talk about the life of King Amaziah. Now, Amaziah was one of the kings of Judah who did a lot of things right. So it's not like he was a terrible, horrible person in all respects. Amaziah did a lot of things that were good things. Unfortunately, Amaziah had some serious flaws. Now, he was the ninth king of Judah in the line of David. If you count Athaliah, the one woman who reigned there, and she was very wicked, if you count Athaliah, he would have been the ninth king in Judah. And he followed his father Joash. His father Joash had been murdered by conspirators. So he followed his father who had been assassinated by conspirators. And his father started out good, but his father had ended up bad. And just to give you a little bit of the flavor of that history, you might turn back to 2 Kings chapter 12. And so now we're talking about his father Joash. And if y'all really want to get confused, the problem is at the same time there was a king in the north. So a king in northern Israel, and guess what his name was? Joash. So you have two kings of two different kingdoms who happen to share the very same name. But in 2 Kings chapter 12, picking up in verse 19, now again, this would be Amaziah's father. It says, "Now the rest of the acts of Joash and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And his servants arose and formed a conspiracy and killed Joash in the house of the Milo, which goes down to Selah." And then it talks about the conspirators who did that. So Amaziah's father was put to death, and then Amaziah followed him and reigned in his stead. And Amaziah became king when he was only 25 years old. Do you remember what you were doing when you were 25? Well, Amaziah was busy being king. And he reigned for 29 years after that. So he actually had a good long reign. And he does a lot at the beginning that shows that he has some respect for God's law. There's a lot of what he does at the beginning that we would say indicates that he has a good heart and that he does a lot of things that at least show that he has some respect for what God has said. Let me see if I can show that to you. If you would, please turn over to 2 Kings chapter 14. So remember, his daddy had been put to death by conspirators. And so what Amaziah does is he has the conspirators put to death. But he doesn't kill their children. He shows some mercy there. So he does kill the ones who assassinated his father. We can understand that. But he shows mercy toward the children and understands that the children shouldn't automatically be held accountable for the bad things that their fathers have done. And so I kind of like that about his personality. In 2 Kings chapter 14, it says in verse 1, "In the second year of Joash, the son of Jehoahaz, king of Israel, Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah, became king. And he was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jehoiada of Jerusalem. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, yet not like his father David." Now, what do y'all make of that? We'll take a look at a different verse in just a moment that makes that even a little bit plainer. But he does what's good. He does what's right. But he just doesn't quite do it all the way. And that ends up getting him into trouble. And so we keep reading. It says in verse 4, however, the high places, so he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, but it says in verse 4, however, the high places were not taken away. So Amaziah left some of the places of false worship, so he didn't take those away. He let those remain standing. And the people still sacrificed and burned incense on the high places. So he allowed the people to continue in some false worship. And it says, now it happened as soon as the kingdom was established in his hand that he executed his servants who had murdered his father the king. So he punished, he put to death the ones who had killed his daddy. But now you can see some mercy in verse 6. But the children of the murderers he did not execute according to what is written in the book of the law of Moses, in which the Lord commanded, saying, fathers shall not be put to death for their children, nor shall children be put to death for their fathers, but a person shall be put to death for his own sins. Now, where does that come from? The book of Ezekiel that we're studying on Sunday morning in our auditorium class. So the point I want y'all to see is that Amaziah is said to do a lot of things that are right. He does punish those who killed his father, but he recognizes what the Bible says about not punishing the children for the sins of the father. On the other hand, he allows